genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is rising to the top and giving back. All three of my guests are going to be talking about rising to the top in one form or another, and then giving back. My first guest is a management consultant. He's a top talent developer. He's a succession planner and an executive coach. He's going to reveal the unwritten rules of getting into the corner office. My second guest is world-famous model, businesswoman, and philanthropist, Kathy Ireland. She's dedicated to the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program here of Ventura County. She's going to be honored at a luncheon on Friday at the Las Posas Country Club, and we're going to be talking about that event as well as talking about fundraising for Big Brothers and Little Sisters. She'll also have with her Terry Fox, who is the Chief Development Officer of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Ventura County. My third guests are a husband and wife team that produces an award-winning food product called tempeh. We're going to learn what tempeh is and what it makes it rise above other protein products and why it's good for us. And at any time, if you want to join us, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, John Beeson, is the founder and principal of Beeson Consulting, a management consulting firm. His clients are really some of the best names that you've ever heard in business: Best Buy, Colgate Palmolive, General Electric, International Paper, the list goes on and on and on. Previously, John worked for Hallmark Cards out of Kansas City. He was the corporate director of organization and human resource development. Prior to Hallmark, he was responsible for management and organization over at Frito-Lay. He's a graduate of Amherst College, Billy the Brain's favorite college. He wanted to go there himself. He holds an MBA from Wharton, which is, of course, is the graduate school of the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, John. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you very, very much for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, and of course, I'm disappointed because you graduated from Amherst. I wanted to go there, ended up going to Duke instead, so you are a graduate of my first choice. So, welcome to the show. You've got a great book. It's titled The Unwritten Rules, The Six Skills You Need to Get Promoted to the Executive Level. And reading your book, it's pretty clear that there's an unspoken truth about getting ahead in big companies. What is that unspoken truth?
One of the things I've seen, Bill, and again, I've been in this area for over 30 years now, is that companies, firstly, don't do a very good job of articulating those factors that they use to place people in executive jobs. And worse still, they do an extremely poor job of letting what I call the aspiring executive, that person who'd like to get into the C-suite, know where they stand. So the person's not in a very good position to take control of their career and demonstrate those skills that would ultimately get them promoted.
Interesting, because you mentioned that, and it comes through in your book that companies do not do a good job of communicating this. But I wonder if that isn't sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And here's what I mean by that. If I'm in a position of power and I want to stay in a position of power, why would I give up the secrets to the kingdom to somebody else who's ambitious and trying to take over my spot?
Yep. Well, it's interesting because, as you noted, I deal with lots of large corporations, and as I deal with senior executives, those incumbent leaders, even today, they are wringing their hands about their ability to identify and develop the next generation of leadership. So they say they want to identify, they say they would ultimately like to prepare those people, But I think there are a number of factors that get in the way of their giving them what I call the feedback that really counts. And by that I mean real, candid, constructive feedback about how they're viewed by those senior-level decision-makers in terms of those factors that really make a difference about getting promoted to that level.
Hmm. Interesting, because let's talk demographics, John, for just a minute, if we can. Because the baby boom generation of which I'm a part of, I don't know whether you are or not, but I'm a part of it, we're going to be retiring soon enough. And as a glut of humanity, we occupy many of the executive offices and middle management offices in corporations today. So as we start to retire, there is going to be this vast sucking sound, a vacuum left by all of the retiring baby boomers. And if companies are not getting their bench strength together and developing teams, there's going to be huge vacancies in all kinds of executive positions in about 10 years.
Well, demographically, you are 100% right, and companies are taking their eye off this ball. Firstly, I should say that you and I might have been in the same class at Amherst. I'm a card-carrying baby boomer like yourself.
Well, welcome to the club.
So it's important to take a look at this in terms of this and economic climate and how this is impacting promotion. There are a lot of senior executives who would like to retire who are extending their careers because of economic conditions, specifically to replenish their portfolios, given how much of a hit they've taken. When those people are in a position to retire, fasten your seatbelts. There's some very good demographic research. The age bracket, if you think about it, behind the baby boomers is about 18% smaller. So companies are going to be scrambling for senior leadership talent. The question is, of course, when the worm is going to churn and when we're going to get out of this this recession. So bottom line, what I tell people who are in that next echelon who want to be senior leaders, take the time now to sharpen your skills to be what I call first off the bench.
All right. And by doing that, you have a term that you call demonstration opportunities. Jobs are assignments that allow you to display some of these required leadership skills. Talk to us about how people should embrace these demonstration opportunities.
Yep. The first thing to keep in mind is that if you're or what I call an aspiring executive, a manager who would like to make it to the C-suite level, not only do you have to develop certain skills, but you need to demonstrate those skills to those senior executives who make decisions so you breed their confidence that you can succeed at that level.
Okay.
Because the skills are fundamentally different than what it takes to succeed as a manager, so you've got to go out of your way to, in your current job, on task forces, in senior executive presentations, show that you've got those skills that are critical to success at the higher levels.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. We've had Jeffrey Pfeiffer on the show. He is a professor out here in Stanford. He's got a book entitled titled Power, and he writes that you should take the thankless jobs because they allow you to network with the senior executive people, get some face time with them, because nobody else wants to do them, and yet they need to be done. Is he wrong in that?
Let me say he's partially right.
Spoken like an Amherst man.
Yeah. Be overly politic, because it's important to get visibility to those senior-level people, but that's the beginning. You need to then develop their confidence that you have these key skills, which I enumerate in the book. So you've got to use the visibility, for example, to show them that you've got what I call strategic gears. Your ability to craft strategy to set a sense of direction for the future.
So, okay.
Just being interacting with them, maybe implementing today's priorities, is not going to allow you to show, in this case, the strategic ability.
Right. Okay, so it gives you an opportunity to meet with them, to interface, but you really have to show off your skills as well. We're talking to John Beeson, everybody, author of the book, The Unwritten Rules, The Six Skills You'll Need to Get Promoted to the Executive Level. And John, I've got to ask you, in this economic environment, you know, is your book relevant today, The Unwritten Rules?
I would like to think it is highly relevant. I had a chance to talk to the Wall Street Journal not too long ago, and most companies are seeing that promotion rates are slowed. But again, going back, Bill, to what we said before, when the economy strengthens, when the baby boomers start retiring, there's going to be huge opportunity and huge competition to move forward. So my argument to those aspiring executives is use this time to both develop and, as we said before, demonstrate those skills that will help you be first off the bench when those promotional opportunities start coming along.
All right. I like that, being first off the bench. That's a nice catchphrase. So there are six skills that you need to get promoted to the executive level. Let's break it down for the audience. Let's go through those six skills. First among the skills is?
These are not necessarily in priority order.
Okay.
But together, I find that these are the skills, the capabilities that after all the conversation is over, really make the difference about who does and doesn't get the job.
Okay.
So one I've already mentioned, that the strategic ability, not just to create a sense of priorities, but really to shape strategy, as opposed to being that first lieutenant who can execute somebody else's strategy. So that would be one. Secondly, and people talk a lot about building a strong management team, at the executive level, that's true, but the priority is surrounding yourself with talent, putting in place the horses, if you will, that collectively form the strong team.
All righty. Now tell me, how is that different than on the line level where you're managing people? Sure, you want to have a strong team. What's the difference between having a strong team and really collecting talent?
I find that the way that managers go about building a strong team is fundamentally different than the way that senior executives do.
Okay.
Most middle managers, and this I endorse, are very good about creating team cohesion, clarifying roles and responsibilities, building that team spirit, and that's terrific. I'm not trying to take anything away from that. At senior executive levels, the priority is picking the top people, attracting them onto the team, so that year over year, the team gets stronger. Yeah, the analogy I use is a little bit like the professional basketball coach who wants to win this year, meaning accomplish your business results, but wants the team to get stronger as they bring in stronger talent year over year.
All right. Well, let's get some nuts and bolts around this, and let's talk about some real-world leaders. I'm thinking right now of John Hurd, formerly of HP, now of Oracle. John Hurd came into HP after Carly left, and he was really notorious for being kind of a jerk. And so break him down on this building a strong team. Was he a good team builder or a bad team builder? And if so, why?
Well, firstly, I want to confess that I know a lot. I think it's Mark Hurd, isn't it?
Yeah. What did I say, Tom? Yeah. My mistake. Yeah, Mark, it is Mark.
So HP is not a client. So fortunately, I can't comment specifically. The key question I would ask is, beyond his personal style and whether people liked him or not, and by the way, as far as I can tell, they didn't like him.
Right.
Was he able to put very strong players in each of the key roles? As far as I can tell, he did. I mean, if you think about it, he left, the company didn't miss a beat. It was able to continue executing while they took the steps to replace him.
Well, let me challenge you on that just a little bit, John, because when he left, they had to go outside to find a German to come in and take his place and fill the spot. So if they had been building the bench strength that you talk about, they should have just been able to promote from within, and boom, off you go.
Yeah. Well, it's another discussion, and I think it's a fair point. They did have to go outside for a successor, but as far as I can tell, the players on the team were performing their roles well.
Gotcha. Okay.
What's interesting is, and I actually did some work with HP about 10 years ago, they had to go outside for Carly Fiorina, and then they had to go outside for Mark Hurd after her in the third time. So even though there are great people at HP, to your point, they don't seem to be very successful in succession planning and building CEO successors.
All right. We're talking to John Beeson, everybody, author of The Unwritten Rules. He's given us the skinny on how to get into the corner office. There are six unwritten rules. So far, we've talked about demonstrating strategic skills and building a strong management team. What's next on the list, John?
Number three starts off with managing execution, which is a responsibility of any manager, any executive. The key at the executive level, though, is being able to make sure that the wash gets out the door without being sucked into too low a level of detail. It's, as an executive, putting in place the roles, processes that focus the organization on execution but where the leader doesn't have to micromanage, doesn't have to make every decision or be involved in every issue.
Okay, so it's more getting work done through people?
It's getting work done through people, but again, the roles, the processes that really focus, in some cases, very large organizations about priorities, keep the organization's eye on the ball. Again, without the person having to be the conductor making everything happen.
All righty, got it. All right, so that's management, managing implementation. What's next?
It's building the capacity for innovation and change, which isn't a surprise because, as we know, we live in a world of nonstop change. What I've seen is that people who make these kind of decisions don't want people who can simply manage the status quo or a little bit of improvement. They want those executives who, at the right time, can come up with fundamentally different ways of doing business that will improve performance and then have the skills to lead the organization through change.
All right. John, we're not going to have time to get through the entire list, so I'm going to shift gears just a little bit in the minute that we've got remaining. You said that companies are very bad about giving honest feedback about what's necessary to succeed. So if an employee is seeking honest feedback on the necessary skills, to whom do they ask, what do they ask, and how should they respond to the feedback?
Yeah, I find that given the fact that companies are so poor in this area, that somebody who wants to get to the executive level has got to be skilled at what I call teasing out this feedback that really counts. You know, where do they stand against these core factors? In most organizations, you've got to start with your boss. You can't bypass the boss. But my rule of thumb is try to have conversations with the highest level executives that you have worked with, to try to get a sense of what skills you've developed and what are the one to two things that, if you were to develop them, would breed confidence in your ability to succeed. Then
okay.
Piece that feedback together, because those are usually the themes, if you will, you need to work on.
Good. And we're going to have to leave it there, John. We've been talking to John Beeson, author of the book, The Unwritten Rules, The Six Skills You Need to Get Promoted to the Executive Suite. Wonderful book. If you've got somebody on your Christmas list who's in business, this would be a wonderful present for them. John, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We will talk to you down the road.
Okay. You're welcome, Bill. Enjoyed it very much.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye now.